O Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. The time is 7:59. Coming up next on Positively Revolting, Ani and Lynn ask, what is outraging you right now, and how are you using that outrage to fuel positive action?
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Stand Together Under One Roof on Saturday, October 14th, Rose City Park Presbyterian Church in Portland. Stand Together Under One Roof brings together multiple groups that work for social, racial, and environmental justice to share their purpose, projects, and stories. The day will include short sessions from a variety of groups, a panel, organizational tabling, discussions, networking, and music. Again, that's Stand Together Under One Roof on Saturday, October 14th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Rose City Park Presbyterian Church, 1907 Northeast 45th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
What would you have instead?
This is it.
And good morning, the good morning. It is just about 3 minutes after 8 in the morning. You are listening to Positively Revolting Talk Radio here on KBOO Portland, your very own community radio station. I'm Ani.
I'm Lynn.
And here we are. There is so much to talk about. There's really no shortage of things to talk about. And so we kind of figure when there, in fact, is such a panoply of horrific events that really require noting and following, that this would be a fine time to have an open forum and to hear from you about where your thoughts are, where you're spending time focusing. Are you able to focus? This is another issue that I know I've had this week. It's like, look, there's a disaster. Wait, this is even worse. No, wait, look over there. Man, this is...
Wait, cat video.
Exactly.
Put a cat video on.
Quickly. You know, and it just sort of, it's been making our heads spin. And when I've talked with friends, well, it seems like we're not alone in that. And so we thought maybe you would appreciate a moment to vent your spleen, to share what is really outraging you, and to give us a call and get that off your chest, and also to let us know what you're doing about it, because action is the antidote to despair.
And knowing that you're not alone.
Absolutely.
In the midst of this insanity. which we're calling our whole governmental system. I don't know. The state that we're in, there are environmental issues, certainly. Policy in the government is completely insane. Insurance, health insurance, big stuff. I'm still a little upset about guns.
But that was so last week,
Lynn. I know.
So last week.
I'm apparently hanging on and not moving on.
Yeah,
what is the phrase now? Moving forward.
Gotta move past that.
Move forward.
So, I mean, I think this is the year. I appreciate that the last author on Democracy Now, who was saying there is no denying climate change at this point. You can't deny it. You can reject it. But you can't deny it. Because, in fact, what a year. Of course, in other parts of the world, there's been no denial for a few years now, as heavy flooding and monsoons have killed thousands in South Asia. And that can be directly linked to the drastic climate changes, as can, say, a few other things. Hurricane Sandy, we might remember that a couple years ago, maybe.
That little Katrina thing.
You know. But it's, true enough, large storms have existed, since the planet was first formed. Okay, cool. But really, let's look at some patterns. And this year is the year the chickens have come home to roost in the U.S. And I think that it's important to really not just say, wow, that's weird. All those fires in the West, wow, that's weird. Wow, all those hurricanes that have brought in the storm of the century that we had 3 weeks running, three different storms of the century back there a month ago. All of these things are undeniable, and people are dying. And so what are we doing about that? Even as this comes to, I'm not even going to say comes to a head, because what we're watching is the beginning of it really coming home to roost here. Even as that's happening, we have an administration that wants to pull out of international protocols to actually effectively deal. Effectively, debatable word, but to deal in some way with climate change. There's also the threat of nuclear war. Again, the current occupant of the White House talking about the need to manufacture more nuclear weapons. There's a phrase I really just never thought I'd say as an adult.
Oh, for so many years now. Certain things that we thought were handled, but they never will be.
Yes, everything old is new again.
Well, also, it's freedom fighting is a lifelong.
We also lifelong thing. Endeavor. That same current occupant of the White House has decided by tweet. Apparently, we live in a country ruled by decrees in. Twits, in Twitter.
Tweets.
Yeah, just, I didn't know. I didn't know that that was how we actually pass policy.
And, catch up.
Okay. So we live in a land ruled by Twitter, tweets, and we find out that, wow, maybe this freedom of the press thing, it's gone too far. Maybe if the press doesn't actually uphold and amplify the occupant of the White House's message, they're bad for the country, and maybe their licenses need to be questioned. What kind of malarkey is that? That is seriously disturbing.
Well, and he
and
said,
seriously disturbed.
Part of what he said was, they need to look into it. And it's like, hello, it's the First Amendment. It's one sentence. No problem.
I don't know.
It's all there.
Those are a lot of words put together, Lynn. Mm-hmm. There's the ongoing crisis in Puerto Rico, where we are, in fact, watching a genocide happen in a territory that is governed by the U.S. And yet we watch, again, that same...
They have the best of all the worst worlds for being a U.S. citizen in Puerto Rico.
Again, we're watching that same occupants, racist, disgusting diatribes about Puerto Rico, threatening to end aid. Already, these people need to help themselves. Wait, no, I need to throw paper towels at their heads. Wait, no, his performance is nothing short of disgusting.
And it is absolutely, Puerto Rico is ripe for disaster capitalism.
Absolutely.
Which is some a little term that Naomi Klein came, a little term, something Naomi Klein came up, she's written an entire book about it, where, well, it's like Elon Musk's offer to solarize. A wonderful attorney and teacher, Nick Caleb on Facebook said, "What's the catch?" And I wasn't thinking about it at first, but I realized the catch of Elon Musk wanting to rebuild the Puerto Rican electrical grid is the first step of disaster capital, because they will privatize it. And according to Juan Gonzalez from Democracy Now!, right now Puerto Rico has the largest public utility in the country. And as we know, public utilities are much less expensive than private. So right. Elon Musk wants to zoom in. I mean, I don't really ever know. I thought at first he just wanted to get Puerto Rico ready to take to Mars with him. But no, I think this is the first step in privatizing a very large public utility, which will be, we will see so much of that in Puerto Rico now. Yeah. Mark my words.
So all of these things are happening, and we want to invite your call. We aren't even halfway through the list of things that we have written down that we are ready to, well, that have made us apoplectic this week, let's just say. The news is coming at us at a fast and furious pace. It's a little hard to keep up, but that's why we're here. We need to inform each other, and we need to hear each other's concerns. We need to figure out strategies to deal with ever-evolving crises around us. So to that end, good friends, please do call in with your outrage, with your thoughts and your opinions to 503-231-8187. You are listening to KABU, your community radio station, and we have Roberta on the line. Good morning, Roberta.
Good morning. Yes, I have some shocking news for the listening audience. I am a veteran and a patient at the VA hospital in Portland, and it's recently come to my attention that the, not just the VA in Portland, but the whole VA system has instituted a program of doing animal research right there on the campus where I go to get my medical care. That is very disturbing for me to have to find this out. As a taxpayer.
Did OHU ever stop doing animal research?
What was that?
I don't know if OHSU, which I...
No, not OHSU, the VA.
The VA, okay.
Yep,
the
different.
VA, I'm just talking
just
about
the
VA
campus.
System. Okay. In and of itself started a pilot program 2 years ago, and now it is a full-fledged, system-wide, nationwide program of full-out animal research that is being done right there at the same hospital where I go to get my medical care. There are stories all over the news about dogs that have been tortured and killed mm-hmm. by the VA. And it's disturbing to me because there's billions of dollars of my tax money that's being used to this purpose without my permission. It's disturbing to me as a veteran because this is not what I signed up for the government to betray me in this way after my honorable service to them. It's disturbing to me as a patient because this is tons of money that's going to torture and kill these animals that could be going to provide better medical care for us patients, and most of all, it's very disturbing to me as a human being because every life is sacred. As they described to me at the local VA, they're just mice. Every life is sacred, including those of mice.
I certainly wouldn't want to contradict you, but the military, I don't see the military as...
But the VA, I mean, I think that what she's talking about is the outrage about animal testing.
Yeah, yeah.
Much of which is unnecessary, much of which...
I agree.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And whether the military thinks life is sacred or not is a whole separate question,
okay.
I think. You know, and I certainly do appreciate that information
and
concern.
This is at the VA where I have to go for my medical care.
So
where
you don't have an option.
Where this is happening right under my nose, it doesn't make me feel better or get better knowing that this is where I'm going for my medical care. So I am spreading the word, you know, to the general public, to especially to the veteran public, and also to the VA staff. And when I get off the phone, I will be calling Blumenauer and Wyden, express my outrage to them. And I've also come across an organization called WhiteCoatProject.org, and they are advocating for taxpayer money to not be used for this purpose.
Excellent.
So that's what I am, you know, doing about the situation. So
thank
just
you.
Wanted to
thank you for taking
get
action.
That out there. All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Roberta.
You take good care. Excuse me. Yeah, there is actually an article in USA Today about the VA tightening oversight after there is a public outcry about them conducting experiments on dogs and then killing them. There has long been concerns about the necessity of testing on animal models. There's a lot of studies that have actually been duplicated unnecessarily and tied to research dollars more than actual need. I'm not saying that's the case in the VA, but I am saying that that has been shown to be real over and over again. I know it was focus of a lot of attention in the late 90s when it came to Emmanuel Hospital's research as well as Oregon Health Sciences. And I think that that's a super important issue to continue to track. I think Roberta for your call and bringing that to my attention this morning, because I honestly have not focused that direction. And it is.
That's why we want our wonderful listeners to contribute here.
Because there is just too damn much that is going on that is wrong. And so we need to inform each other. Thank you, Roberta, for doing just that. And again, there's no shortage of things to talk about. We haven't even gotten into violence against women and the Harvey Weinstein revelations that have been suppressed for 20 years. It's hard to talk about breaking news that's been actively suppressed for 20 years. It's like open secrets or military intelligence or jumbo shrimp. Let's talk to George. Good morning, George. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning. Is this Ani and Lynn? Or
it is.
I hope so.
Oh, great. Thanks.
At least we were when we woke up.
That's right.
I was going to ask you how you are this morning, but after hearing Democracy Now! And you guys, I think you're probably... You got your mind trying to on the horrible amount of things that are going on. I wanted to mention one that may be not in the focus right now, but in Iraq over the years, the U.S. used something called depleted uranium
munitions. Oh, yeah.
And there were hundreds of thousands of shells fired and tons of depleted uranium oxidized and got into the air and into the dust, and is now blowing around, not only in Iraq, but across borders into other countries. And I heard, I think someone from the International Action Center, which you guys will remember, Ramsey Clark's group.
Oh, yeah.
And they said there's a book out outlining some of the issues, and it's called The Metal of Dishonor. Hmm. About how the Pentagon radiates soldiers and civilians with DU weapons. And as I gradually heard about this, I saw that the International Action Center, I think, was selling a book called Challenge to Genocide, which is about the sanctions the U.S. opposed and depleted uranium. And I began to realize what they're claiming is that there are tens of thousands or no millions of people in Iraq who have been breathing this depleted uranium dust, which is heavily... it used to be heavily concentrated in just a few areas, maybe, but it's blowing all over the place. And one of the books, I can't remember which one, was talking about young people never having before had the rates of leukemia and tumors. And so I just... This
well, and have you ever seen pictures of the birth defects in Iraq from that? It's heartbreaking.
I have seen some pictures of...
And American vets are suffering from it in a huge amount. Huge.
Now that's something. Now, so there's photos of what now again?
Well, photos of Iraqi children born with really heinous birth defects from.
So some of them are
depleted uranium,
preserved in bottles, and some are alive and.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen those photos.
I haven't seen the bottled ones, but yes. Well, they don't happen much anymore. I remember this from years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And now, one of my personal pet peeves against the resident of the White House now is his ability to, and the press goes along with it, be the focus of attention all the time as far as his actions or inactions go, and that there are so many things that are really important that go under the radar because of the machinations of this narcissist.
I think so, and I'm so glad that you are aware of this and the problems of the presidency, and it wasn't just.
And it's horrible. I mean, it needs to be reported. There's a bandwidth issue here or something about what can be absorbed.
I think so, and so I just want to thank you guys so much, and I just hope people will take a look at some of the books the International Action Center is still selling.
Well, and their website is great.
Okay, well, that's great. Well, they list the books, and I think this is just one of many, many issues, the depleted uranium and the sanctions and all the rest, and thank you so much.
Thank you so much, George.
Thank you for mentioning that this organization, because I highly recommend the International Action Center's website. It looks
Thank you so much.
Thanks, George.
Thank you. Bye-bye. I'm listening.
Okay.
Thank you. Take good care. It's good to hear from you this morning. And, again, so many things. And things fall off our radar. Things fall off the plate because I think you're absolutely right, Lynn. There is a bandwidth issue. It's like how many disasters, how many tragedies, how many things that are just truly horrific can we focus on at one time? And this is not the way we're actually meant to live our lives.
Cat video.
I prefer platypus. I do.
Jumping goats, whatever.
Yeah, yesterday it was a bearded lizard riding around or playing tug of war with a corgi. That was a good one. I liked that one. And that was absolutely necessary after I surveyed headlines and tried to write the opening for this show. I'm like, oh my God, no. Show me the cute lizard with videos. It's true. I go to cute lizard videos. Lynn likes cats. I like reptiles. And that's the way it works in friendships, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
503-231-8187 is the number to call. You too can join us this morning, like Roberta and George have. We would love to hear from you. We also want to encourage you to like us on Facebook. You can like Positively Revolting on Facebook and stay on top of articles, conversations, and pictures throughout the week. You can also follow us on Twitter, where we do not rule by decree, but in fact, we do tweet current events and thoughts and opinions. You can follow us on Twitter at Positive Revolt. So, all that said, let's go ahead and talk to Carissa. Good morning.
Hi.
Carissa. Good morning.
Is that the right?
Hi.
Are we pronouncing your name right?
Hi, guys.
Hi.
So, back in the 80s, Ani and I were actually on the radio once together. And the thing I've been thinking about this week is an interview with Ai Weiwei, and they played a song called Give Me Back Tomorrow. And that's the thing I've been working on all week, is I feel like they're stealing my future and they're directing my future. So I've been using that as a battle call, Give Me Back Tomorrow. And what I want to recommend is that we look at the basics, like the phone calls, the protests, and the vote. And I'm super into the mechanics of democracy. And here in Oregon, I think that, we can always have, more people registering, but there are other states that I think need help in getting people to register and making registration available. And I've been playing around with this idea of having sister cities for voting. And could Portland adopt somewhere in Ohio or Michigan and help, you know, a precinct or some area in help them register to vote? I mean, could we send a bunch of Oregonians somewhere else and say, hey, let's register to vote?
Like Cuban doctors throughout the world. Yes. A place, Cuba, where they actually have healthcare, sending doctors to people. Where in Oregon, where we actually have a fairly...
Seems like a more reasonable voting system than maybe in other places.
Yeah, sending them out. That's a great idea.
Well, and yeah. And kind of harkens back to voter registration drives, and also of the civil rights movement. It also, I have to say, it's not so much talking to people about how to vote. It's about actively working against voter suppression, because that's really where it is. There's, it's about stopping states from purging the voter rolls immediately before votes get counted, or election days, I guess I should say. It's about
purging for various reasons.
Oh yeah, like there's somebody with a very common name, much like yours, that may have committed a felony and thereby in that state lost their right to vote. Too bad about the other 400 people with that name. How can you be so sure? You got to get them all. You know.
I followed those. I think is it Georgia where they were registering people and actually keeping a record of who they registered, so that at the time when they normally would purge, they could go in and say, hey, let's compare our lists. We have registered these 100,000 people. Let's see if they are still on the list, because legitimate registration. So, yeah, I think we have to fight fire with fire. I actually have a resistance plan taped up in my kitchen, and I would like to encourage everybody to have a resistance plan that they can live with, things small and large, and then keep it posted in a place. And so I do have, like, some self-care stuff, because I think we have to endure. I think it's going to take a while. I don't think it's going to, we're not going to overcome evil overnight. It's going to take some time and effort, and we have to take care of ourselves. But also, let's stay on plan.
Yeah, I love that. Thanks for being so organized.
You bet.
Okay.
Put up a poster. Thanks, you guys. I appreciate your forum.
Absolutely. Thank you. We appreciate your listening and your contribution to it. Take good care.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
People are putting some thought into it.
I love that.
I love that.
I love organized resistance. It makes me happy. In fact, it gives me just a smidgen of hope. And I'm possibly the most optimistic person I know, so I have maybe even a thimble of hope at this point. I just want people to know, coming up on KBOO this very morning at 9 o'clock, you'll be listening to Beloved Community, a look at the history of the Oregon military, plus the village movement that allows people to age with dignity. At 10 o'clock, we'll hear another installment of Threshold Shift. Threshold Shift travels to the Rocky Mountain National Park to listen in on an annual fall elk run. Okay, I got to editorialize. So when I used to do late night radio, late night experimental sound collage with a couple of Walters, one of our favorite discs to go to was a disc of elks playing in a creek. It was elks in the springtime during mating season. Elks are fun. I'm just going to say that. And so I can't wait for Threshold Shift this week. That's going to be great. And at 10:15, it's Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. 11 o'clock brings us the Digital Divide, that will present the latest Edward Snowden talk on privacy and democracy. Remember, KBOO is your independent source for news and entertainment. Please become a member right now. If you are not a member already, we all need each other. You can just go to kboo.fm and click on Donate. 503-231-8187 is the number to call to join us this morning on the air as we, you know, our long time sort of, what do you call that, slug line for the show is decrying the old world while celebrating the world being birthed around us. That's pretty much, you know, I would love to pay attention to the creative acts of resistance and actually moving forward in creating the world we want to see. Right now, there is just one hell of a lot of things to decry. And so we're figuring maybe you too have some things to decry along with us. Please do give us a call, 503-231-8187, just like Dougie is doing right now. Good morning, Dougie. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning. How y'all doing?
Doing okay. How are you?
I'm not doing the best, I'll be honest with you. Never in my life have I been so disgusted, you know, with this country. And America, you know, my feeling is that America was never great, and it never will be until racism and greed are purged from this country. Donald Trump and this country, like metaphorically to me, and how I feel so disgusted. You know the feeling when a toilet is plugged up and it's overflowing?
Oh yeah. I'm just going to be careful. I'm going to ask you to be careful with your analogy because you're on daytime radio.
All right. Well, I'm not going to say.
But I think that we get the idea. Okay.
Yeah, just you know that feeling of disgust.
Yeah, disgust. You know, yeah.
And this is nasty.
Some gas station bathrooms.
Yeah. Somebody else, and of course it's somebody else. It's like Donald Trump, you know, just plugged up the toilet and walked out the door, and you're already, you know, he's already a disgusting and vile human being as it is. But then you come in, and you know.
Yeah. Okay. You know. I think we're all there with you. And
okay.
Yeah.
But the other thing that I wanted to say, you know, besides this vile human being, you know, who sees the world through only his lens, like a psychopath.
Yeah.
And,
it's narcissism. It's classic narcissism.
Right. Everything that he, you know, his vision when he ran for president was that his predecessor was not an American. And so as you'll notice, everything that he's done has been to unwind anything that was good, whether, you know, the Paris Climate Accord to mm-hmm. protect the world mm-hmm. from climate change, this Iran nuclear deal, DACA, destroy the Affordable Care Act.
Mm-hmm.
He has no vision for himself, absolutely no vision for himself. So after he's self-destructed all these different things, I'm curious what's going to come next. Since you've noticed just the past year, or you know, that's been his whole agenda. So
that's his. He said, you know, he's just look up narcissist in the dictionary. That's what they do. They blow things up. It's all about. There's no policy. It's about him trying to feel better, which he never will. It's a bottomless pit kind of thing. It's unfortunate that the country is at the mercy of this at the moment. There were many.
But here we are.
But there were many. Yes. So what is your what are, as Mayor Daley used to say, what are your programs? 100 years ago.
Oh, you well, Chicagoan.
I guess trying to convert the unconverted, I guess, and these ignorant, some of these white people over the years who have been manipulated by racism and aren't able to see the truth because they've just been deceived. You know, the Republicans did it with the Southern strategy before, but they used the code words. But now Donald Trump is this straight up white supremacist.
Ripped the Band-Aid off.
Yeah.
Right. So do you think that some of those people who were ignorant enough to go along with this agenda, can they be saved, or are they, since it was outright white supremacy that fueled Donald Trump's campaign, can they be saved? Because there's no excuse for it. You can't say that, oh no, Donald Trump wasn't racist, when everything, all the scapegoating, whether it's Muslims, Mexicans, NFL players for standing for the, I mean, how can you continue to make excuses for this person? Are those
people, but they do. So I try not to sort of focus on them quite as much.
Well,
and converting people from their belief systems is that's really, if you can do that, Dougie, you go out there and get it done.
I think,
okay.
But reaching hearts and minds of folks that have remained devoutly with their head in the sand, I think that there is maybe a little movement there. I think that that is always worthwhile, as opposed to, you know, I choose personally not to really knock my head against the wall in trying to reach somebody who has decidedly gone that direction.
Can I bring up one last point?
Yeah,
before,
sure.
I let you go. There's a great article that came out in Counterpunch. It's called War Culture, Gun Culture, They're Related. You
cool.
should check out this article. It's really interesting, and the reason I bring it up is because of the NFL protests and, you know, this targeting of NFL players taking a knee to bring attention to gun police killing.
Yeah.
But the article says that they did research since 1968 to the present. There's been more Americans who have died from guns than soldiers who have died in wars.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Almost 1.5 million, 1.5 million people. So it just gives more relevance to why it's important for people to continue to stand up and take a knee and to stand up against the hypocrisy of it all.
Okay. Well, thank you so much
all.
For your call.
Appreciate y'all.
Thank you.
Day.
Thanks. So speaking of guns, I've been, because, you know, we seem to have a mass killing every month now or so. There's a study by the Violence Policy Center called When Men Murder Women. And it's about, of course, how so many thousands of women are murdered, and usually by someone they know, with a gun. It's the lone male attacker, vulnerable woman sort of thing. But what's interesting is how the NRA has used this to market guns to women. Which, of course, you know, years ago, I remember people saying,
okay,
well, careful
spinning.
Having a
head
gun, because it can be used, unless you really know what you're doing, it can be used against you. I mean, and this is part of the NRA's, their marketing that, of course, only a good guy with a gun can deal with a bad guy with a gun. That's the only way that can happen. So gun sales to women are up 77%, where gun sales altogether have gone down during the Trump administration, which I find sort of interesting. In fact, they even had an act of feminist resistance, they called it, was putting on a concealed carry fashion show. Wrapped up in this messaging is a disproven idea that only the thing that can do a bad guy with, yeah. So the Violence Policy Center, which follows dozens upon dozens of surveys and similar findings, has proven yet again that gun ownership leads only to more gun violence, of which women are disproportionately the victims. Well, you know, it's easy to take a moment of passion and fire a gun.
Is it?
Not for
apparently,
me.
Apparently, I don't know.
But if you've got one, like say you've got a knife and you've got a gun.
Well, yeah, I mean, I have certainly long been aware of the studies that have shown that there's a whole different mindset of somebody who can be close enough to somebody.
I say use your words.
To physically hurt them with, you know, a knife or strangling or whatever.
Right.
As opposed to being able to be somewhat removed from the situation and firing a gun. That's all again, food for thought this morning here on KBOO, your community radio station. This is Positively Revolting. We are encouraging your calls this morning. Open forum, so much to talk about, so much to make sure everyone is aware of. Please call in with the thing that is really outraging you and also what you are doing about it. Because, of course, the action Action is the antidote to despair. And we think that that despairing is really, it's not going to get us anywhere. It is a natural state. When we look at the dumpster fire, I say, saving myself FCC heartache at the last second there, it's a dumpster fire that is ever evolving around us. There is so much to focus on. We need to inform each other and to share our outrage, as we are doing this morning. 503-231-8187. Good morning, Tom. You're on the air.
This is Tom Sincik with Healthcare for All Oregon.
Hi, Tom.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Doing
good
all right.
Good morning. And I like KBOO every day, not just on Facebook.
Excellent.
So, before I get into what I'm doing, I want to say what I'm working on is nothing compared to the famine, the war, the climate chaos, all of those giant, terrible things happening around the planet. I'm particularly disturbed by the use of the word country to describe Puerto Rico, not only by a member of the administration, but by somebody on the so-called public radio station. But we got an opportunity here, at least on the domestic end, to do what I think can be the biggest game changer. And one is, look forward to the possibility again of declaring healthcare a human right in Oregon.
Absolutely.
But in addition, so that's the work I'm doing. Getting towards that, and then getting access to Medicare for All, or improved Medicare for All, or single payer, or whatever word you want to use, coming forward to get a vote of the people in 2020. And there's a lot of organizing and interest in this on a statewide basis. And so if others are interested in joining in, they can go to hcao.org and get involved. They can come to our member meeting on October 21st at SEIU 503. It starts in the morning, I think 10 o'clock. But information is at the website. So if people are interested in that, which I think could be the biggest domestic game changer, of course, never excluding our issues with taking care of our climate. So that's where I'm at.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Tom.
It's an incredibly worthwhile endeavor. I'm so glad you're doing it. Thank you for your service.
Okay, and thank you for having the show, and get other people on to
We're gonna.
Grievances.
All right, we're moving it. And hcao.org is a great resource. Thank you again for bringing that front and center to our attention this morning. Take care. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. And let's go ahead and talk to Red, shall we?
Sure. Sure, I see.
Good morning, Red.
Hello.
Hello, Red.
Hey, good morning. So I actually, right now I'm working, 12 to 15 hours a day to try to survive, and I just don't have a lot of extra time to do anything,
One saying? Could imagine. But, I do know exactly what you're saying.
But what I've been thinking lately is I kind of want to issue a challenge to people that, I like listen to Lars Larson sometimes, and that guy attacks everything about Portland, he attacks trans people. He calls BLM a terrorist group. He's a climate change denier. We're all snowflakes, and I wish we could do like a boycott of all of his sponsors, and for that matter, that whole station, all their sponsors. And
I certainly boycott them. I don't even know who they are, but I know I'm boycotting them.
Well, you don't, because you don't know who's sponsoring them.
That's true, but I have to admit.
But I just wanted to issue that challenge to maybe somebody that's got the know-how and the time to maybe work on something like that. But I would love to see that guy suffer.
Hey, Brett, that is actually an awesome idea, that maybe somebody could do a little research and see who's sponsoring Lars. I just have to say Lars has changed over the years. Okay, I'm a Portland native, right? I'm 51. When I was 18, I worked at a restaurant in Northwest Portland. And like most 18-year-olds, we worked in restaurants. And I had the dinner shift. And before the close, about an hour before closing every night, we had the Portland news team come in and have dinner before they would proceed onwards to KPTV Channel 12, which was our local station, local independent station at the time. And it was Margie Boulay. And it was David Appleby, the weather guy, who had Tom the weather cat. And it was Lars, who was the co-anchor with Margie Boulay. And I tell you, it was like a whole different person. I think what we're watching is a persona that was developed to try to become a local Limbaugh and to basically, you know, carve a niche for himself as this radio pundit, as his personality. Because I can tell you, it's a whole different person. Of course, maybe most of us are whole different people than we were, you know, in 1984. But still, I have been fascinated by this devolution. And I thank you for bringing that to our attention, and an excellent idea.
Thank you. You guys have a good day.
You
thank
too. You. Take care. Rightio. 503-231-8187. We have 15 minutes left, and we're going to talk to Dave. Good morning, Dave. You're on the air.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're welcome.
Before Mike Malloy and before Tom Hartman, I was listening to Roy Masters.
I remember him.
You remember him?
I do. My adopted mom used to listen to him constantly.
Yeah, it boils down to that. The American sheeple. Nothing else needs to be said. Donald Trump ought to be referred to as Tweety Bird from now on.
Sure. Help yourself.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And
I always liked
as far
Bird.
As the hearts and minds of these racists that have voted for Trump, when I see them on the street, it's hard to engage anyone. So what I suggest is everybody black who wants to ride a bike, but is afraid to ride a bike because they're afraid of these people that drive around in these cars and attack them or pseudo attack them. I think that whenever that happens to me, I confront it right there on the spot. And I guarantee you, they don't do that again. Unfortunately, it's one at a time, but that's all we can do, one at a time. Thank you so much for taking my call.
All right, you take care. You know, all right. Roy Masters. Anyone I would ever hold up. I'm just going to put it out there. Wish you'd hung out for a little longer. Yes, my adopted mom listened to him daily. It's a long time ago, and I can't remember exactly what he was on about, but I do remember looking at her and going, are you out of your mind? Anyway.
I looked it up.
I don't really have time to figure that out right now, but
right.
I think he's problematic as heck. Let's just go on at this moment of our lives and say talk with, switching screens, Kay.
Kay,
good
yeah.
morning, Kay. How are you?
Good morning, Anya and Lynn. I'm calling to give you a follow-up on the Roundup spraying of glyphosate.
Oh, wonderful.
I know. I just read your email. I was hoping we would have time for that, so thanks so much for calling in.
Yeah, so real quick, because, you know, we were just a few busy bees that were outraged about the repeated spraying and just the concept of the...
of parks
pollinator
as well.
Meadow project using herbicides to be created.
This referring to the spraying of parks, right?
Yes. And it's in Gabriel Park right by our organic community garden and orchard. Because we wouldn't let up and we have a good case, we noted violations in parks' own integrated pest management program. We noted violations on the last spray in July and kept up that pressure, and they finally agreed to work with us and freed up the top quarter acre of the site for alternative methods of practice. To me, just to see that fence line moved, I can't tell you what a great feeling that was, but I'm sure you can imagine it, because it really, it's a small step. We want the whole field freed up from any more herbicides, but now we know that with our stewardship and our proven organic methods, that upper field will never have to be sprayed again. And, you know, they didn't have to do that, and we only needed to care and just keep caring. So I would say to everybody, we have a lot more power than we realize. And if you're paying attention, I think October is spray month in Portland parks. So when you're walking around out there, take a note. Look and see if you, whatever you observe, make a note and go online and learn about the integrated pest management program. Start recording violations and make some calls. And the most important call I think anybody could make who's concerned about glyphosate in parks is to email annahuttle@salmonsafe.org. And also Dan Kent, who is the director. And I say this because they are reviewing Portland Parks IPM, which they do every 5 years, and they are the ones who are going to certify whether or not that plan is indeed salmon safe. That assessment and decision is going to happen by the end of the year. And they, I've been in contact with them, and they want to be kept apprised of the situation in our pollinator meadow site. So I'd encourage everybody to make use of that, because they're more independent than just trying to address concerns to parks all the time. It just keeps going around in a circle. Although I do have to thank them and say, you know, our concerns did not fall on deaf ears, and it just took real persistence, which we all need to find and just maintain through good self-care and coming from a place of love for the earth and the future. So
thank you, Kay.
I'm
really glad
you
called in this morning. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you. I love having the opportunity.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye-bye. You too. 503-231-8187. Again, we have about 8 minutes left. We haven't actually even, we have now made it halfway through the list of outrages.
I didn't think we were going to make it through the list.
All the way through
it's
the
only
list.
An hour, sure.
But and what I am actually very much appreciative of is that our listeners and callers have brought up subjects that weren't even on my list to begin with.
Woo-hoo!
There is, again, so much.
Plethora does not quite even describe
no,
it.
No, it doesn't. It's a, it's a veritable panoply of...
Okay, yeah, panoply, yeah.
Panoply of horror that is going on around us. So,
well, let's try to squeeze in a couple more callers.
Let's do it.
Say Laura.
Good morning, Laura.
Hi, good morning, Lynn and Ani. Thank you so much for being there. My outrage this week is the Portland Harbor Superfund cleanup. It turns out that some of the potentially responsible parties, we call PERPs for short, have secretly gone to D.C. to negotiate a different version of the cleanup with the EPA, what is now called the EPA, without notifying the stakeholders involved, like DEQ, tribal officials, you name it. They went behind our backs, basically. So it could potentially stall and really weaken the cleanup. And this cleanup process, as you know, has been in the works for years. Community groups working with EPA for years creating this cleanup. And just as we're ready to embark after the record of decision, they're sort of pulling the rug out. So it's really important that people know that this toxic lower 11 miles of the Willamette River that had earmarked $1 billion, to clean up is now being threatened. This process is being threatened, and it's just not allowable. And I hope people will join in to help us deal with this. I mean, it affects everybody. The river affects everybody.
Absolutely.
Yeah. How can people get in touch?
There's a conference call today, and I don't, you know, that might be a bit too soon. It's called Portland Harbor Communities Pushback on Trump. It's at 12 p.m., and you can get more information about this call by going to the Portland Harbor Community Coalition. another group, Portland Harbor Community Advisory Group. These are two groups that have been working on this cleanup process, as I said, for years. So either of those groups will be able to help you with next steps, and we really need to be aware of this, or we're going to get stuck with a very toxic river for, you know, who knows how long.
Right.
So thank you.
Thank you so much for informing us and our listeners.
Yes.
And I'm going
another
ahead.
Another thing that was not on our list.
Indeed. And by gosh, it should have been. Because the cleanup of the Willamette, well, as somebody who grew up, I don't know, 12 blocks away from what is now Cathedral Park, but then it was a toxic fun site. Actually, it hadn't been recognized as a toxic fun site yet. Yeah, huge. It's important. I am posting a link to the Portland Harbor Community Coalition to the Positively Revolting Facebook page. So again, you can simply look up Portland Harbor Community Coalition. I just did. But I also, for the ease of collating a lot of information in one place, have posted that to our Facebook page, as well as a link to the International Action Center that was suggested earlier, and Healthcare for All Oregon. So when you hear that clicky clacky noise in the background, it's me posting her little fingers off. Resources to our Facebook page. Again, you can like us on Facebook and follow along all week at Facebook. Like us, we're Positively Revolting there and elsewhere. You can also follow along in the Twitterverse at Positive Revolt.
I think we've got time for one last caller. We've got a couple minutes. Leslie.
Good morning. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, Leslie.
Hi. I spoke to Ani yesterday. I read my humorous piece about the Portland Police Bureau SWAT team attacking a homeless shelter. However, this is more serious, and I'd like to read this to you and then get your reaction off the air.
We only have 2 minutes. In a pretty literal sense. So go ahead.
Trump acts like crypto fascist. This is the worst government that money can buy. Having been elevated to the Oval Office by the Electoral College, he lost the general election by millions of votes. The fix is in. His record shows that the only thing our chief executive is good at is browbeating and firing people. The Republican Party is eating its own young. That's it.
All right. It's that's true. Yeah, thank you very much for your call, Leslie.
I'll talk to you later. Thank you.
All right, take care. And yes, there is, again, so much to talk about. We didn't get to talk about so many things. That'll be for a show coming up real dang soon. We want to talk in the future about the inhumane immigration policies, the horrific practices of detentions and deportations by ICE. We want to talk about the reappearance of white nationalists in Charlottesville. Left 5 days ago, it just seems to be totally eclipsed by so many other horrific things. And yet we really cannot let a gathering of white nationalists led by Richard Spencer in Charlottesville, where a woman was killed by them and a man was beaten, critically injured by them just a month and a half ago. We cannot let that pass without comment. There's this entire narrative that's consistently confusing fascists with anti-fascists. That's a conversation that's going to keep going on and on. Then there's, of course, the interesting tactic by the Portland police of hooding and placing sound blocking earmuffs on arrestees as they are arresting them at a nonviolent direct action a couple of days ago. That action was super important. That action blockaded an ICE deportation bus and kept it from moving for hours until the police dismantled the line and allowed the bus to pass. That action should be talked about. And in fact, there needs to be a lot more attention paid to the horrors that ICE brings to our communities and the policies that they enforce. All of this coming up on a program near you real soon.
And thank you so much for our really great callers today.
Super excellent information.
And
thank you for participating.
And our engineer, Ray. Thank you.
Engineer extraordinaire. Coming right up. Stay tuned. Beloved community. Looking at the history of the Oregon military plus the village movement that allows people to age with dignity. After that, 10 o'clock, listen to some Elks with Threshold Shift. All this and more on your community radio station, KBOO.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Indira Valley, Salo, and DJ Mami Miami and a benefit for Pueblo Unido PDX on October 13th at Cider Riot in Portland. The benefit for Pueblo Unido PDX is a night of music and community as we come together to raise funds for the work of this grassroots organization in East Multnomah County. Pueblo Unido's mission is to empower and provide resources to Latinos with vulnerable immigration status. Again, that's Indira Valley, Salo, and DJ Mami Miami, and a benefit for Pueblo Unido PDX, Friday, October 13th, 7:30 p.m. to 11 p.m. at Cider Riot, 807 Northeast Cooch Street, Portland, Oregon, 97232. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
And this is KBOO Portland. It's 9 o'clock in the a.m. And coming up, beloved community, the Oregon military, plus the village movement that allows people to age with dignity, Threshold Shift, who goes to Rocky Mountain National Park to listen in on an annual